Where we're going to be going, and it is a place, we're going to see stuff. We're going to see stuff, hear stuff, smell stuff. And I'm not, many people are probably surprised to hear us talking about this. Aren't we these very spiritual men of God who talk about spiritual things? Yeah, heaven's going to smell good, all right? Yes. We've studied
Wait, do
Lord
I have to smell
God
you
for,
in heaven?
Yes, you're going to have to smell me, and I'm going to smell a lot better in heaven.
Forget it, I don't want to go.
You're not gonna need deodorant or you know what deodorant is and cologne. You know what all this stuff is? I got this figured out. I have a theory, I guess. I won't say I have it figured out, but I do have a theory.
Brother.
My theory is that these things have been invented, as well as toothpaste, mouthwash, all those, to hide the stench of decay. And we're afraid to admit that. I mean, you know, our armpits stink because we're decomposing by the minute. And but when we're filled with the Spirit, you won't need that. There will be no antiperspirant where we're going in the celestial realms. No need for cologne. There will be no need for mouthwash or toothpicks. No dental floss. And we're going to see stuff and feel things.
Yeah.
We're going to hear. You, what did Paul say? He was taken, snatched away to the third heaven. He said, I heard.
He heard that. Yeah, exactly.
He
was taken
things.
the consummation of the eons, and he saw and heard things. And I tell you, it looked good and it smelled good, I'm sure.
Yeah, he didn't mention the smell, but that's I'm taking it to the next level here, all right?
Well,
I have a
I
revelation. Wanna,
you know, I talked to you about this the other day. There's something, you know, on this idea of heaven. We have become... So, because of the Christian view of heaven, it has made heaven almost sound like a boring place.
Yeah, it's horrible from what.
But if I were to ask you, Martin, which one book in the scriptures would you go to tell us about believers in the body of Christ going to be in heaven? Where's the first place you'd take them?
Ephesians.
And what is interesting about Ephesians is the use when it's the book that tells us that we members of the body of Christ have an allotment among the celestials.
Yes.
Never before had any of God's people ever hoped to go to heaven. You know,
no,
they were looking for
we
the earth or the Jerusalem or something.
That's right.
But what's interesting about this in Ephesians 1:10, the Apostle Paul uses this phrase. An administration of the complement of the eras, or the King James says, the dispensation of the fullness of times or seasons. The word dispensation is literally home law. It's a home law. It's the regulation of a home. It's the regulation of a family. And when you come to Ephesians 2 and 3, when the Apostle Paul says that we, through Christ, we both you and Gentile, have access in one spirit to who? The Father, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then when you read from Ephesians 2, verse 19, all the way through Ephesians 3, there's a constant emphasis on a home. When Paul is telling us in Ephesians 2 and 3 about the special ministry that God gave him, it has to do with the regulation of a house. An order of a family. And members of the body of Christ, we Gentiles at once were disadvantaged. We were guests to Israel's covenants of promise. But now in Christ Jesus, both Jew and Gentile have been created into one new man. We have an allotment among the celestials. And it's interesting, in Ephesians 3, it says that we're fellow citizens of the saints now. And what's fascinating, if you look at the Greek text there, the concordant Greek text, it's fellow citizens of the holies.
Hmm.
And the saints is in italics because that word could be translated, it's either holy persons or places.
Right.
We are fellow citizens of heaven's holiest of all. And all the language being used for heaven's holiest of all has nothing to do with stained glass or harps or marble or cold, bitter stuff that you would see in an ugly church. It all has to do with a family atmosphere. It says in Ephesians 2 that we're no longer foreigners, but fellow citizens of this heavenly place and of the household of God. It's a household. It's a home atmosphere.
I like that picture. I really do. I have that here at the Pilkington home. It's like I say, there were so many people here over New Year's. We had 17 people here, and again, I just love the camaraderie. I love the fellowship. I love the warmth, and I love the fact that God gives us this picture. Do you agree with this, Dan, that God gives us the picture of the family unit for a reason? It's not that this is going to go away. It's just going to be taken to the next level and perfected. But that same fellowship that we have here, we're not going to give that up. And again, I think that's why most people have this bad idea of heaven. You picture everybody's going to have their own mansion or some crazy thing. You're going to be isolated by yourself in some cold corner of the universe. No, it's going to be a huge family reunion. I think that's what I'm getting from that, this home law.
Exactly. And that's why Paul it prays that we might understand this particular home law, this particular arrangement of a family. And part of Paul's message, Paul had two secrets in Ephesians. He had the secret of Christ and the secret of the home law of the mystery. What was that secret? Well, it's the present position. It's the called ones who are part of the ecclesia, which is his body. And we form this glorious company of God's redeemed who have a celestial allotment, and we're part of this family, this new family that didn't exist before.
Mm-hmm.
With specific arrangements in this type of family. And like you said, yeah, it brings the idea of something homey, something wonderful. One of my favorite passages, and I noticed this, you quoted Thessalonians a few times, but when we think of these words like holiness and, think of holy, you're like, holy, holy, holy,
holy.
You know,
holy. Yes.
But it's the opposite. Whatever holiness is, it's got to be lovely. It's got to be beautiful. It's got to be wonderful because God is holy. And Christ has made us holy. And in 1 Thessalonians, there's this passage that I love. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11, he says this, "Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all, even as we do toward you. To the end, what's the goal? That he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before our God." Now notice the term there. Holiness is connected with love.
Mm-hmm.
Holiness has reached its fulfillment in an atmosphere of love. And so when I think of holiness, I don't think of stained glass. You know what I think of? Have you ever seen those Thomas Kincaid drawings?
Yes, yeah.
And what I love about them is they're the ones that are set in a snowy, a winter night. Gorgeous background. And then you see this house, and it's mm-hmm. covered in snow. But what makes it warm, even though it's everything is freezing, it's cold, a winter night. But when you look at it, you don't feel cold because you're looking at a house, and the house has yellow in the windows. And
yes.
I always picture when I think of the word holiness, I picture a camera zooming into that photo and into that window. And though it's freezing outside, you come inside, and what do you see? You see a family, a husband and wife sitting on a couch. There's a fireplace, kids playing on the floor, hot cocoa on the table, and just a comfortable, relaxed atmosphere when everything outside is cold, but you don't sense that coldness because it's a family atmosphere. And when I think of holiness, to me, that's the best illustration of what holiness is.
Yeah, there's a song that goes along. In other words, there's a soundtrack to that Thomas Kincaid painting you just mentioned. It's a song we just recently sang over the Christmas holidays. "Well, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful." There's that.
Oh, yeah,
contrast.
Dean Martin's version is the best.
Is it? Yeah, well, even because he was probably drunk when he sang it. He said, "Well, the weather outside is frightful."
Yeah, that's a perfect. That song would be a great theme song to this Absolutely.
But my whiskey is so delightful. That's Dean Martin. But anyway, no, that is. And wow, that is amazing. When you say the word holy, all I can think of is my Catholic Church, this song that we all sang like a funeral dirge, holy, holy. And who wants to go to this version of heaven? Now, you're just giving me this whole different picture of holy. It's set apart. When we hear the word apart, we think, oh, we're each going to be apart, as I suggested earlier. But the picture I got when I was growing up, we're each going to be set apart in our own little cubicle in heaven. But it's not. We're set apart with each other. We're set apart from the elements. That family you talked about is set apart from the cold outside. And it's just the fact that we do have something. I want to bring this up too. This sounds terrible. I've been talking about this on my Second Timothy show, but is that we do have this family relationship with each other that not everybody has. God is distinguishing now. We have a special salvation that other people just don't have. And I think we're afraid to revel in that because we're so afraid of the Christian viewpoint. Well, you know, the Christians say, what's going to make heaven so fantastic for me is that other people aren't going to be there. You know, yeah. Well, we know that's not going to be the case. Everybody's going to be saved eventually. But you know what? Right now, we do have something that other people don't have. It doesn't mean they're not always going to have it. I mean, it doesn't mean they're always never going to have it. It just means that for now, God has given us this warm, homey atmosphere. And outside, we see chaos in the world, and we see people miserable, and we see those who have no expectations still. And there's something about the contrast. I hate to say this. I mean, sometimes when people treat you badly, it's nice to think, well, I'm a member of the body of Christ, and this other person is a worldly person, and they're filled with hate, and they're filled with not grace. And God has put a distinction between you and them. It sometimes can be delicious to think of this contrast, you know, this contrast of knowing that we're in this part of this warm family. And for the time being, other people just don't get it. All right, let them go their own way. You know, Noah had to close the door of that ark eventually, and other people were out there dying, but there had to come the time where he just said, well, I'm just going to go be with my family right now. I'll come back for you guys later.
Mm. And that's true. I have no problem with that. And if the family is a refuge.
Yeah, I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Refuges.
Yeah, it's a refuge.
When Paul wrote his last letters,
the world.
Yeah, and when Paul wrote his last letters, he emphasized that with Timothy. There was a special bond in suffering. You know, we talked about this before. The show Band of Brothers on HBO. One of the things that was fascinating to me about it was that how these men through the battle relied on each other. They leaned on each other and it created a bond, and that's exactly what we get from this time we're in. We lean upon our family members through trial.
That's right. And who are on the outside? The enemy. I think one thing that emphasized the closeness of those men was that they had an enemy.
Yeah.
And we now have enemies, Dan. I mean, we have enemies in the celestial world with malevolent spiritual powers, but we also have enemies on this planet. And the presence of enemies kind of drives us together. I mean, you look at the book of Acts, and you look at the closeness of those disciples who met, and they were surrounded by enemy forces, and it almost emphasized their safety and security. I guess I'm just saying, look at the contrast that we have. And as much as we hate it and as much as it's uncomfortable to have enemies, let's try to wring some kind of enjoyment out of it. Let's try to wring that God has put a special spirit in us, and especially salvation in us, that other people don't have right now. Thank God they're going to have it eventually. But in the meantime, this enmity and this coldness, this winter, these evil people in the world are forcing us to come together and to relish this family that we have.
Mm. Yeah, all right. So, you know, a lot of people are not going to like this kind of message, but this is, listen, that's too bad. This is a God-designed thing. You either believe the scriptures or you don't. That's really what it comes down to. We either take God's side on this or we don't. And like you said, Paul emphasized the family, and not everyone's in that family. Not everyone's in it. That's God's design.
Yep, and, you know, we're not, I think we just got to quit feeling bad about the possibility of feeling good. I think with the pendulum, you know what I mean? The pendulum has swung so far to the other side. We've come from these soulless religions, and where it was all about, you know, just reveling in your own thing and ignoring everybody else because you thought everybody else was going to hell. Now that we're spiritual, we've just forgotten. We've just swung the pendulum too far the other way, and we've forgotten that it's going to feel good. We've forgotten that it does feel good to have something that somebody else doesn't have for now. I'm sorry. I said it there. I said it. Sure. I said it. I'm in the body of Christ. You're not. I said it there. It's out. Okay. There's something about it. Yeah. Everybody's going to be with God eventually, but doggone it. This is a special calling. Revel in it. Revel in it. And even if you have to enjoy it while somebody else isn't, they're going to get there eventually. God's putting us in an ark of safety, an ark of warmth, an ark of family, and there's going to be lots of people banging on the door wanting to get in. It's not their time right now. It will be their time eventually. In the meantime, enjoy what you have in Christ. All right.
I think we need to close with a prayer, if you don't mind. And I'd like
Please
to read
do.
The prayer. Paul says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, out from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may be at home in your hearts through the faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be mighty enough to comprehend, together with all saints, what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled up to the whole fullness of God. Now to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the ecclesia through Christ Jesus to all the generations of the age of the ages. Amen."
On that amazing note, we're going to sign off for today. Replay that one, folks. That was an amazing prayer from the Apostle Paul, delivered to us by the one and only Dan Sheridan. Thanks for joining us. We will be back tomorrow on this theme or a similar one or whatever the Spirit leads. I'll see you tomorrow, Dan.
Bye-bye, brother.